I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab that comes in and helps me out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. Usually the first hour is a little easier than the second. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Getting on to some people's concerns, we always talk about technology news, and I found this kind of interesting. As we know, Tesla Model 3 has been plagued with production issues, and there's a company called Bernstein & Company. They're analysts of the auto industry, and one of their key factors of why Tesla's having so much trouble is that they've over-automated, and that's what's causing a lot of their production problems. When I say over-automated, it's pretty common for auto manufacturers to use robots to actually, you know, spray and do some of the assembly of a automobile, and we've all seen the arms doing all their things. But what the boys at Tesla did was they decided to also automate final assembly. Now, the thing about automation, and I've been doing this for 28 years at Tab, and we learned a lot over the years because we also wrote custom software for our customers. And one of the things you have to be aware of when you're dealing with any kind of automation is your actual process, the old-fashioned way, the manual way you were doing it, really has to be working before you can automate it. You can't automate something first without knowing how the process works. So the Japanese have realized that over-automation in final assembly, what they actually try to do is limit that because, A, they are telling you that automation is expensive, and it is statistically inversely correlated to quality. So what they would like to do, what they do in the Japanese market, is they make sure that you're not automating a process that's going to bake in the problem all the time. And in the case of Tesla, they think that the fact that he's purchased twice as many of these Kula robots as most other automobile manufacturers is part of his problem. And the same thing with software. If you're trying to automate something in your office or some process in your business, if it doesn't work properly manually, you really can't go ahead and turn it into automation. And robots, building robots is or building machines is something that even C-3PO had a comment about. Or maybe not. We try these things. I don't know.
Machines making machines. How perverse.
Yeah, shut me down, as he says. We try to do everything with robots. We had Flippy the robot, right, talking about the burger flipping robot that was too fast for the assemblers of the hamburgers. He'd flip them and get them all cooked up, and then the people couldn't get up and catch up with it. Same thing here with Tesla's Model 3. They could be baking in problems with quality. With the Tesla Model 3, and that could be why they're not able to produce as many cars as they hope to be producing by now. They're woefully behind and heavily in debt as a company. So good luck to Tesla, but that's part of the problem, they say, that's going on over there at Tesla. In other robotics news, I have to bring this up because we started this show 22, 23 years ago, and I think back then, FIRST, which happens to do the robotics competitions for the high schools, was just starting out, and they've got their big New England District Hartford event today, starting today, and it goes, I think, through April 8th. So you can check it out. It's free to the public from what I heard. I think Ray Dunaway or Who was on this? Joe D'Ambrosio was talking to the folks over at FIRST this week. And you guys got to check it out. You know, these are kids building machines so that they can either chuck a Frisbee or chuck a – it's always different every year, whatever they're doing as far as this game. And in Southington, my hometown, the Cyber Knights always kick butt. So good luck to those of you. They're kind of like the UConn women's basketball team of robotics. They are always crushing the competition, so I wish them the best during this competition. And if you want to see what's going on with the future geeks of tomorrow, go ahead and check out the competition there in Hartford. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. Anything you want to bring up, Bob?
Yeah.
What do you got?
How'd you like to go on vacation? They're building a new hotel that's going to launch next year. Construction's going to start next year.
Yeah.
In space.
A space hotel?
Yeah,
what
space
could go wrong?
Hotel. So you can vacation like the Jetsons at this luxury space hotel.
I think the Jetsons were still on the planet. They weren't in the space.
Well, they did, but they had this thing that shot them up above the clouds, so they didn't have to deal with cloudy weather,
gotcha.
Things like that.
All right.
Of course, I never understood how the wind never affected those things.
That's a cartoon. So wait a minute now. So you're saying that there's some company who is putting together a space hotel.
That's correct.
But who is it backed by?
It's the Aurora Station. Could tour you around low Earth orbit as soon as 2022.
Really?
Yes.
What does a week cost?
14 days.
14 days, okay.
Okay. You got to do 3 months of training.
Okay, sure. You got to get your stamina up for this vacation. Yeah.
It's actually a 12-day astronaut and training experience, 200 miles above the Earth.
Fun.
Okay.
All right.
Now.
This is a vacation, huh?
This is a vacation, okay?
Yeah.
That does include the launch and towel service. And it's
Wait. They listed the launch and towel service as included. That's always good to have towel service.
Well, they got
to
get you up there.
Yeah, right.
I mean, can you go on vacation? That's like getting a resort package and then not including the airfare.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
So, you know,
and towel service. Yeah, very important. You don't want stinky towels. I mean, that's just the worst.
And it's millions less than other tourists jaunting to space. A trip aboard one of the rockets to the International Space Station now runs more than $40 million.
Wow.
So this is $9.5 million. I mean, it's a bargain.
$9.5 million for 14 days. And it includes towel service.
Construction of the Aurora Station will begin next year in Houston, Munger says. Although not at NASA, because this is a private venture.
Yeah.
The hotel will basically be a cylinder that fits inside a rocket and can accommodate up to 4 guests at a time, plus 2 crew members.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yep. Interesting.
And the passenger should get it'll be able to take care of it because it's a case of zero G germs, they're calling it.
What?
Well, there's just something called zero G germs. You can study on it. Hold on.
Wait, they're going to take care of you getting zero G germs?
Like yes, that? It would prevent you from getting zero G germs.
Okay.
Okay. The Aurora Station will complete an orbit every 90 minutes, meaning guests will see day and night over Earth hundreds of times.
Oh, like a strobe light. That's always fun.
Yeah, when they're not posting Instagram shots via high-speed wireless internet.
Great.
They can also enjoy...
You're supposed to disconnect on a vacation. What are you doing that for?
But they can also enjoy a virtual reality experience on the holodeck, which they're creating to imitate what they had on Star Trek.
Yeah, but they're floating around, so the only thing they could really virtualize would be being a helium balloon. For $9 million.
All right. Visitors must complete a mandatory 3-month training, much of it online,
sure,
to learn the basics of space flight, orbital mechanics, and pressurized environments.
Lovely.
Then they'll board Aurora for an experience that's like space camp, but many, many pennies pricier.
Yeah. I don't know.
Those eager for an Aurora Station vacation can make a fully refundable $80,000 deposit online now.
It's the Tesla approach. Give us a deposit now, we'll build it later. Yeah.
Be the first in your neighborhood, on your street.
Not my idea of a vacation, Bob. My idea of a vacation is a beach and a Corona.
Well, they have pictures. So,
okay.
Pictures are cool.
All right. That's great. In other news, H-1B visas for foreign-born tech workers is now closed just 5 days after it opened. The window to apply closes for highly skilled workers hoping to come to the U.S. Tech companies in the U.S. that employ highly skilled foreign citizens won't be able to hire anymore until 2019. I'm happy about that, frankly, because we should be hiring American highly skilled workers. And this H-1B visa issue is a big problem. I've got friends who have kids going to college, trying to become tech people, and they got to compete with these foreign workers
that are coming in
as indentured servants to the companies that enslave them.
A lot of Americans getting out of computer science programs out of our colleges that can't find work, and they got to bring in H-1B visa people. Right. And how is it that these H-1B visa people are so lucky to be able to get an H-1B visa in the first place?
Well, a lot of it is institutional. It's designed so you get these big companies that aggregate these folks coming in, and then you're stuck. You have to work for these companies. You can't work anywhere else, so you become an indentured servant to the company that brought you in. It's a big mess, and I hope they do reform it and pretty much say, if you're going to be coming in on an H-1B visa, you need to be making six figures or better, because obviously you can't find an American that wants to do that job or find a skilled worker to do that job. Rather than what they're doing is bringing them in for less, and then the American workers are training their replacements and getting kicked out of Disney or getting kicked out of the University of California. We've talked about this in the past. It's really sick, and it has to be corrected, and it looks like it is getting a little bit corrected. I have no problem with folks coming in and competing with Americans. Fine, it's great, but if you can't find the skilled jobs, fine. But if it's for a cheaper price, that's not good.
The part of that article that really bothered me that I wasn't aware of is, first of all, there's a quota.
Right.
Okay? And then you're talking about how they aggregate these, but that quota was able to be reached in 5 days.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big quota, too. It was like, was it 50,000 or something like that? 85,000? It was ridiculous.
And then they're selected by some random computer.
Right, a lottery.
You know, which I find hard to believe, since Disney was able to find all sorts of people to come in and
replace their American workers.
Their American workers, that's right. And then they forced their American workers
to train them. Yeah. So let's see what happens with this. They have to do a lot more reform on H-1B visas. Just again, you're spending 50, 60 grand on these great guys who are over in Hartford right now competing for robotics, right, to become geeks, only to have them competing against folks from other countries for jobs that they're going to get paid less for. It's not a good system.
Then they'll end up flipping burgers at McDonald's.
Flippy. They can work on repairing Flippy. That would be a good job. Repairing Flippy the robot will be a good job. But yeah, I hear you, Bob. So we'll put a link up here. You can take a look at this. It's pretty interesting. What else you got, Bob?
Elon Musk wants you to watch this movie about the dangers of AI.
Okay.
Yeah, and they have a picture in the article of the Terminator.
Oh, boy, yeah. So what, is it on Netflix or something?
No. It's on a regular link. If you go to this
go to
Computer Talk with Tab, you can click on the link.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's Do You Trust This Computer? It's a documentary that deals with the potential consequences of artificial intelligence, and it will be available online for free until Sunday night, so you want to act quickly.
Oh.
And I went to and I clicked on the link and it started. It's in like an hour and 38 minutes.
Yeah.
But
after Sunday, it's going to cost you?
Right. Because this is being funded right now for free. It's being paid for by Elon Musk.
Oh.
He wants us to be enlightened.
All right. That's cool.
I think that is probably worth
take a look at it.
Maybe at least a few minutes of my time.
Yeah. Well, Elon is afraid of AI. He said it many times. He's afraid of artificial intelligence.
Because he said that SpaceX and Tesla founder has long been a vocal opponent of artificial intelligence. In the past, Musk has suggested that AI competition between countries such as China and Russia could lead to World War III.
Mm.
Oh, geez, we got politics with China and Russia
right now.
It doesn't have anything to do with
AI. Well, we'll put this out here for you. You can take a look at it, and Elon thinks it's important, so you may as well take a peek. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines all filled up and one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And you guys listen to me. The lines are filling up this morning early rather than usually later. We can't get to all your calls. So thanks for getting on early. You're going to go right to Paul in Litchfield first. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Good morning.
Morning.
Talk about FIRST.
Yeah.
I should be in Hartford, actually. I'm a judge for FIRST. I'm a volunteer judge.
Yeah.
I'm just not feeling well today, so long story short, I didn't go.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with the Cyber Knights. They're an excellent program.
Yeah.
They've been a long time. But the idea behind it is to get people interested in STEM.
I know.
And if you can't go to the competition,
mm-hmm.
this is technology-driven.
Yep.
You can go to a website.
Of course you can.
Market online.
Yep.
So I will tell you, I mean, they do a very good job. But, you know, this isn't ESPN.
No.
But at any rate, so if someone's interested in checking it out, it's www.twitch.tv.
Okay.
/NE_RED, R-E-D. And that will take you to the site. They are up and live. The first match has already been, played and won. They have commercials that explain how the game has worked. This year's game is called First Power Up.
All right.
For all of you techno geeks, anybody remember 8-bit games?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what this is based on.
Okay.
You are trapped in an 8-bit game.
Okay.
Okay, so it's really cool. This happens to be the high school version. It's called the FRC, First Robotics Competition.
Right.
But this actually starts down in kindergarten, first grade, depending on the school system.
Yeah.
They start with Legos and everything else. They get into Lego animatronics,
mm-hmm.
and you just work up. And the main thing is that when you get to the high school level, you've got kids that are programming robots. There's a section of the competition called Autonomous.
Yep.
It's a 10-second period. And the kids program it to try and perform, something in the game to earn them points.
Yeah.
So it gets very technical for the kids. And no, you don't have to be a science geek to do this.
Well, I would always contend too, Paul, and I've said this a lot on my show, that STEM is great, but STEAM is better. And it's if you think about the folks that think outside the box, because I know plenty of geeks, obviously, and they tend to be a lot of times one dimensional. And when you bring in the arts into this idea too, you get the folks who think out of the box. I really think you could improve the whole thing by encouraging some of the folks who are in the performing arts to get involved with this technology and how it goes together. It seems to be it's a geeks or not geeks type of thing. And I think that if folks talk more about STEAM rather than STEM, you would find maybe a more effective approach to some of this stuff. Because I know a lot of geeks and they tend to not be in the arts at all, and it's too bad because they are sometimes very myopic when it comes to how they look at the world, or the artsy folks look at things a whole lot differently. What do you think about that? You've been doing this a long time.
Yes, I have, and. One of the things I've noticed, and this does apply to Cyber Knights, is that the more successful teams do involve kids. I mean, it's not about you have to build a robot and, you have to know how to use CAD and all this. I mean, this gets really into it. You don't have to build a robot. There are teams that have people whose main job it is to run their website.
There you go.
And then, of course, now we get into, videotaping what's going on during build season, what's going on in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
All these teams in the Cyber Knights, again, are very good at this, are involved in the community.
Yep.
If you live in Southington and you've never heard of the Cyber Knights, you need to get out from under your rock.
Exactly.
they are out in the community. They attend various events.
Yep.
I believe, I'm reasonably certain they participate in every single parade that ever runs down a street in Southington.
Oh, yeah.
With some of their robots. They do public demonstrations where you can actually try out, they will teach you how to make the robot do basic moves.
Yep, yeah.
And also understand the robot you're playing with is probably valued at about $5,000 or $6,000.
Right, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, so the more successful teams are reaching out to other members of the community in their schools, finding kids that want to be graphic designers, want to be videographers, want to go to work for ESPN eventually and film, the women's Final Four or something.
There you go.
But it's a great program. It's been in existence for 20 years.
Yep.
The guy that found it is named Dean Kamen.
Oh, gosh, yeah. He created the Segway.
Yes, please don't say that. He's not proud of that. he is proud of it. But that is exactly what he's known for. but he's getting more known for, and a lot of the teams are getting into this too.
We have 15 seconds, Paul.
Okay, 3D printed prosthetic devices.
Oh, yeah.
Hands, fingers, arms. Picture this, your high school robotics team.
Hey, Paul, I got to go. We'll put a link up there for you on DK. Thank you for calling in about first. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon. Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk. We have a couple lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We had that nice discussion about FIRST from Paul, who was a judge for the FIRST robotics competition that's happening right now in Hartford, if you want to head on down. Check it out. We got links to most of the stuff that we already knew about, and we think we found Paul's Twitch link that we're going to put up there. You can actually watch the competitions and what these kids are doing with these robots, which is pretty cool. Let's go on to your calls, and we're going to go to Bill in Southington next. Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill, you there? Ah, no, I guess Bill probably thought he picked up the phone and dropped it by accident. Let's go on to Bob in Berlin. Hey, Bob, you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, what's going on?
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
When I open Google, I have a Dell. When I open Google... now it's a new something new for me that I've seen happening. A new tab in the left-hand corner appears. It says new tab, and this screen is maximized. The Google screen is maximized, and gone apparently is the minimize, maximize, and I cannot drag it to the left. In other words, when you put the arrow on the border, I try to drag it to the left so that it might show where I can maximize, because I can't bring the up and down, that ladder or arrow up and down, that's in the right-hand margin somewhere.
Right, so your whole screen is fully engulfed by your browser, correct?
Yes.
All right, so up in your upper right-hand corner of that window, you should have... an X on the far right, a little box, or in your case, you might have a double box, a little look like two pieces of paper, one in front of the other, and then you'll have a dash.
Well, that's normally I would see that, but that doesn't appear on the screen because it's probably hidden. Over to the left, I have it says new tab. And it's like one of those manila file folders with the X over there. And that's what I've been using to get out of the Google.
Try hitting.
It appears like there's something behind it, which I don't know how to get rid of either.
Try hitting F11, because it seems like it's maximized into full screen mode. So if you hit F11, it should minimize it. Because you hit F11 to make it like full screen, and then you hit F11 again, it'll make it smaller. If it's doing what I think it's doing.
Okay.
Did that work for you?
It moved the screen, but it says now, well, F11 appeared, and then it said hit it again. But it brings me back to the thing where it says new tab on the left, and then there's like a tab, like a manila folder with the X there.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't hold, but should I try that?
Well, again, if you hit it once, it'll put the screen in one way. You hit it a second time, it'll put it back to the way it was. So if you're hitting it twice, you're putting it right back to where you started. So hit F11 once.
I hit it once.
And now you should be able to move the screen around. Now it should not be locked in the way it was before, where it was full screen. Now you should be able to adjust it.
Well, it's fully maximized, the screen.
Yeah, but the edges should be clickable. Most likely, on top of what you've done with dragging it out to a full screen, you probably dragged the screen out physically as well to the full screen.
Possibly, but there's no margin where I can grab. I have the arrow on.
If you put your arrow, if you hit the F11, and you bring your mouse cursor to one of the edges, either the top or the side or whatever you want, you should see it change into the one with the double arrows going left and right or up and down. Because F11 will do exactly what Bob said, We promise you. So in either one of those, when you push F11 once, try that. Move your cursor to the edge and see if you can drag and move or affect your window.
The upper edge.
Yeah, the upper edge, the far left, right edge, whichever edge you like. If it doesn't change, if the cursor doesn't change, hit F11 again and try it that way. If it still doesn't work...
Well, it's always worked to the left margin, but the right margin is a totally... in other words...
You can't see it.
Right.
So most likely you have an issue with your monitor and how it's depicting the screen onto itself. You might have messed with the outer edges, or the resolution or the outer edges of the screen. On your monitor itself, it's got a menu capability, depending on the model of the monitor you have. So, and it's not controlled by the computer. So you could have set outside borders or outside side edges outside your viewing capacity somehow. Could be that trapezoidal. You could
try
have messed
lowering your resolution.
You can do that too. You can do that in your display settings within your Windows operating system by right-clicking anywhere on the screen that doesn't have something up to get your display properties. Or you can just type display properties right there in the search bar.
Okay. Thank you for your trouble today.
Did we help you, Bob?
No, but I have a plumber at the door.
You got a lot of troubles today, huh, Bob?
Yeah. I'll try you guys next week. Thank you for your program, though.
Our pleasure. Good luck with the plumber.
You have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. I got a plumber. I can't help you. I can't continue with this support call.
Paying him by the hour.
Yeah, I hear you. I got a leaky shower head myself. I don't want to call a plumber. I want to fix it myself. But if I try to fix it myself,
Teflon tape. It's leaking around the thread?
No. I think it has to do with the knob itself when you turn it on and on. It's a whole different show. Whole different show. Okay. We are not qualified to tackle.
Plumbing talk.
Exactly.
Tab.
Not happening. Let's go to Bill in Southington. He's back. Hey, Bill, we lost you.
Yeah, you did. I went to move my phone and leaned up against the end call.
Oh, boy.
Thanks for taking my call. Sure. Issue I'm having is trying to update the Windows version 17.09. I get it going as far as the setup window coming up and telling my BIOS needs to be upgraded.
Your BIOS does? Okay.
Yes. Should I be going to American Megatrends and updating it from there?
Yes.
Because they're the BIOS manufacturer.
Yeah, okay. you'd want to do that and make sure you get the right BIOS for your specific motherboard.
But it wouldn't be American Megatrends. It would be the manufacturer of your motherboard. Because there's only three or four BIOS manufacturers out there, and use,
Do you know that yours is American Megatrends, or are you just guessing?
Let me see. I'm looking here now. BIOS version is American Megatrends F.13 from 2015.
Okay. Right, but you really want to get it from, let's say, if you have an ASUS motherboard, you want to use the firmware, the BIOS update.
For that board.
For that board from the manufacturer of the board.
Manufacturer of the board is HP.
Oh, it's HP. So you want to get that from HP.
Now, you could actually have a tool on your computer already that'll do that for you.
That's true.
There could be an HP...
Utility
of some kind there that might do the update for you.
Or you can go out on the web, on the HP website, put your make and model in.
Right.
And... If there are any updates, like BIOS updates, then it'll be there. You can get the latest one from them.
Yeah.
Okay. But with everything else that they update, why wouldn't they just do that automatically?
Well, they let you pick that.
Because it's very it's very sensitive. If you power that thing off during a BIOS update, you're going to lobotomize your computer.
Yeah, it'll become a brick, a paperweight.
So be very patient. It's going to seem like it's going longer than it should. It's going to seem like it's frozen. Don't have the temptation of rebooting. Let it finish, or you're going
to
lobotomize.
So it's something I actually like to do just before I go to bed.
You can do that, sure. Start it and walk away, and don't touch it. Make sure you got if it's a laptop, make sure it's plugged in. If it's a computer, make sure it's going to not be affected. Make sure there's no thunderstorm happening while you're doing an update on a BIOS.
Yeah, when you're doing those updates.
Well, maybe some more snow tonight, but I don't think.
Oh, stop!
Thunderstorms.
Yeah, stop saying snow. But yeah, you should do the update. That way you can get your new 1709 Windows 10 version
Okay. Because I was having an issue with the 1703, I think it was, and it took like a month before it finally went through.
So how old is your computer?
I got it a couple years ago.
Okay. Well, it's young. Mine had the exact same problem. I mean, this Windows 10 baloney is ridiculous. The updates are horrible. They don't work. They force you to upgrade your BIOS. I mean, what does Microsoft think they're doing here? You know?
I don't know. They should have just stayed with Vista.
No, Vista. We're happy Vista's gone.
Well, actually, I kind of like Vista.
No accounting for taste.
I never went to seven or eight. I just my last laptop completely died, and when I got the new one, it came with 10. So
You jumped.
Saw 7 or 8.
You missed 7. 7's lovely. 7 was a great operating system. So. All right, Bill. Do the update. Be cautious about it. Do it through HP, and then you should be able to do the 1709 update.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, too. Bill from Southington. We're going to go to Rick from Southington. It's a Southington morning. Hey, Rick, what's up?
You were talking about Windows 7. I've got a desktop that has Windows 7. It's Windows 7 Home Premium. Do you need to know the processor and all that stuff?
No. What's your issue?
What's going on is I only have like 1.5 megabytes of free space on my C drive.
Oh, boy.
And it's all taken up. Windows takes up, let me get to the...
Well, you don't even have to. So you're down to 1 megabyte of space on your entire computer hard drive. How old is this machine, Rick?
Old.
It's very old. Okay. Do you know how large the hard drive...
Created 2009.
So it's going on 10 years old. How large was the hard drive when it first started?
It's 92 gig.
92 it's got, gigs.
It's got 63.7 gigabytes of... Windows.
Yep. Boy.
Is there any way to weed out what all these updates just chewed up space?
Yeah, you can run the there's a disk cleanup you can run.
We posted two of them last week, WinDIRStat and TreeSizeFree.
But what I'm talking about just having him run the Windows utility to do cleanup of temp files and stuff. He could run that.
Well, he could run that too.
So right through your hard drive utilities there in control panel, they're going to have a disk cleanup. The only issue.
I have,
go ahead.
CCleaner.
No. CCleaner is for malware.
Okay.
But you want to go to your. We can post a link for you, but it's your hard drive has these the utility. I'm trying to think of the name of it, Bob. Under Windows 7 to do the disk cleanup. Is it easy to? Do you know what that is off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head.
You're gonna clear all sorts of caches. You're gonna clear all sorts of.
You see help?
No, I'll find a link for you under Windows 7. We'll post it for you. I don't know why I can't think of it. We're coming up against a break. The only problem is, Rick, is that you don't have enough space. So think of having all your furniture all jammed up into your kitchen.
Yeah, well, I've always thought about it like a chalkboard.
Okay.
And the whole chalkboard's filled except for this little tiny square up in the top that I get to play with right now.
Yeah, but a chalkboard you can erase. This is more like furniture, and you got to get to the refrigerator. Here you go, Bob.
It's called disk cleanup.
Danny, thank you.
You go to all programs, accessories, system tools, disk cleanup.
Yeah. So you want to run the disk cleanup, and I'm hoping there's enough headroom for disk cleanup to do its job and allow it to go ahead and delete some of the stuff that's in there. So it's going to do a quick check. If you run the disk cleanup, it's going to say, okay, Rick, I can get rid of all this stuff. Most of it's stuff you don't need. And then it'll decide for it automatically for you. You won't even have to be a geek. So that should help free up some space. But with 96 gigs of total hard drive space, I have more space on my phone. That's how old your hard drive is. That's what we're talking about. So this is not going to last that long.
Yeah, let me ask you, could I get more RAM or not?
RAM is different. RAM is memory for that's operating system RAM. This is hard drive space. It won't help you. And I wouldn't spend a penny on an 8 to 9 year old computer. It's not worth it. It's better to get it.
I'll tell you, I love Windows 7.
Yeah, I know.
It's easy to deal with.
I know. See, Microsoft in their infinite wisdom feels that Windows 10 is the best thing for you.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, I don't mind going to another one.
Yeah.
But they always change it all around.
I know.
Before it used to be in the right-hand corner, it's now in the left-hand corner.
I know.
you know, everything has to change.
I know.
So it looks new, but I'll tell you, it's not. I'm 66.
Yeah.
I don't like the changing everything around.
I hear you.
Put it in the same spot and add the new bells and whistles.
You know what? You almost shouldn't use your age as an issue, because I'll tell you, even my kids, they wouldn't like it either, and they're young. So I don't think it has anything to do with age. It has everything to do with Microsoft trying to drive us crazy. All right, I gotta let you go.
I wanted to make a comment on first.
Yeah.
My son was involved in that in high school.
Yeah, in Southington.
And now I'm in Southington. Yep. Cyber nights are really good, but when you got a pool of 3,300 kids, it's that's a big program.
Yeah.
He was in a little prep school, and there were only 20 of them in a whole robotics thing, and he did most of the coding.
Yep.
Went away to college for computer programming.
Yeah.
Well, actually, electronic and computer engineering.
Nice.
And got a that was at Lafayette and then down in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
which I had never heard of, but it's a great school.
Yeah.
And then got a nice job out of that, working for a Department of Defense contractor.
Great.
Reviewing here. I'm hearing my.
I know the echo you're hearing. It's going to drive you bonkers.
Yeah, he's now writing computer programs for evaluating weapon systems for the Army.
Very cool.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's great.
He's got the greatest job going.
All started from messing with robots in high school.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's it.
All right, Rick, I got to let you go.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We have four lines wide open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And so on my way into the studio this morning, my wife calls me in a panic. I'm pumping gas, trying to get ready to get over here. And she calls me in a panic, and she says, "My phone says I have three seconds or 3 minutes to choose. I've been infected. Everything's going to go bad. I need to do something right now. I got to click here, and I don't know what to do." This is my wife. I don't know if she's never listened to the program before or what, but so of course it's a scam. She was on Facebook on her phone, which of course is a whole other issue we can get into. But she's on Facebook on her phone, and obviously one of the ads and whatever Zuckerberg allows through Facebook, some sort of malvertising of some kind, popped up and told her to go ahead and click on this before she became infected. This is a scam, people. Anytime your computer does anything like that, whether it's in your, whether it's on their PC, your phone, and yes, Apple as well, guys, because they can get right to your browsers too, do not fall for it. Now, she fell for it. She called me after she fell for it. She loaded something called Boost. I have no idea what Boost is, but obviously Boost is a scam. And obviously we removed Boost and did a virus scan to make sure everything was okay. But my point is, don't be scammed by this. She really was rattled by it. And you know, you're just sitting there enjoying a cup of coffee and looking at people's breakfast food or whatever they're showing you on Facebook. And you get something scaring you like, oh, you're going to be infected in 3 seconds. They're preying on your, I don't know, your guard being down. Always, always have your guard up. Do not, because the moment you click on this stuff, you're actually authorizing the program to install. And that's what it did. So don't let it happen to you. Don't be like my wife. She even said as I was driving it, she goes, "Am I going to be on the radio today?" I said, "Maybe." So we have a few minutes. I figured I'd bring this up to you guys because this is a common thing that happens to, you know, smart people all the time. And then that little Boost program would have been in the background on her phone. And maybe Google, or maybe Google wouldn't, because she has a nice Pixel too. Maybe it would have detected it as a malicious app. Maybe it wouldn't have. But thankfully she called me and then, you know, gave me the full story. The other thing about folks, when you call IT people, tell them the whole story. Everything. That way that we don't have to guess. I had to ask her if she loaded anything, and she did. You know, it's okay. We're not going to judge you. tell us what you did so that we can help you. That way, you know, when in our business, we find even with our customers, they won't tell us what they did exactly to get themselves into trouble. It was always this all of a sudden. If you hear the phrase all of a sudden, it's like the computer did it all by itself.
I didn't do anything.
Right.
It happened by itself.
All by itself. And being that we're computer geeks, we know computers generally don't do anything by themselves. They need people, things called users. And the all of a sudden generally is you guys. But we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Two lines open for you. Brenda, hang on, and Ken, hang on. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Also, if you've ever had your kids go through FIRST, the robotics programs in your high schools, and you want to talk about their experience and what they did with it, FIRST is happening right there in Hartford right now if you want to go check it out. So the robotics competition is going on right now. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.